Hey, movie lovers, I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for. Hey! Okay, big spoilers ahead because we watched Cinderella that premiered on Amazon Prime last night.
Last night, right off of Jeffrey's press.
Not wasting any time here. So while, yes, this is a brand new movie, it's not a brand new story because we've literally had, in my knowledge, like 5 Cinderella adaptations in the past however many years.
Ooh.
Stretching back to like the Disney original, I guess. We've had Cinderella that has Brandy and Whitney Houston, which is one of my personal favorites. And then we had Disney's remake of Cinderella that had Lily James. You know how like Disney's redoing all of their movies into live action? Like they did Lion King, Aladdin. They did a Cinderella.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the first one that they did.
Okay.
And then there was Ever After Cinderella. Ella Enchanted is like kind of Cinderella. Apparently Made in Manhattan is kind of considered Cinderella. Like it takes its inspiration from the story.
Right.
Anyway.
With J-Lo. So,
the tale is old as time.
Yes.
So, while yes, it is a brand new movie, we will be spoiling some things, but this movie didn't really throw us any curveballs as far as plot goes.
No. And I would say go ahead and give it a watch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, like, I asked Marie to do this movie because I was, like, fully ready to hate it. And mostly because of the stupid stunt that they pulled with the flash mob. They, like, did a flash mob downtown LA, like, while traffic was stopped. And it was, like, the cast in costume singing Let's Get Loud.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, the cringiest thing I've ever seen. I hated it so much. Like, can you imagine, like, you're in traffic and you're, like, my husband is bleeding out. We're trying to get to the hospital. And James Corden is just sitting there in his stupid mouse costume singing Let's Get Loud.
The other thing about that is Let's Get Loud, like not having watched the movie, if I saw that, I'd be like, why the heck are they singing Let's Get Loud?
Yeah.
Like J-Lo, like the cast of Cinderella, there's no connection.
No connection at all. Oh my God. It was like on the level of, remember at the beginning of the pandemic, Gal Gadot's video with all the celebrities singing Imagine?
Imagine.
Like that level of like out of touch that celebrities have to us like normal people, us commoners.
Yeah.
It's that level of like disassociated from reality. So okay. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I gotta roast this movie. And then I found out what some of the music was gonna be in it. And I was like, wait a sec, am I gonna like this? And I kinda did. I know it's getting bad reviews, but I kinda liked it.
Okay, I'm so interested to hear like what about the music made you like this movie. Well, we know Sam liked it, but how did the critics feel? IMDb rated it 4 out of 10. Tomato meter was about the same at 43%, but the audience, like your wonderful host Sam, liked it at 82%.
Oh,
so
okay, that's about what I was expecting.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's described as a modern musical with a bold take on the classic fairy tale. And I can confirm it was indeed bold.
Very bold. So we won't really like do a whole run through of the plot since, like we said, it's well known enough. So we'll kind of just do bigger versions of the categories that we usually do kind of after we're done talking about the plot in our other episodes. So we'll maybe start off with characters and acting. I think probably my first red flag was that Camila Cabello was the lead. And for some reason, I just like don't like her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I thought that was like an odd choice, but I thought she was actually pretty good. Like she was like kind of funny.
Yeah, she was cute. And like very modern young woman, right? She played that I want to be independent or independent role really well. And I can see that being like who she is or just what her generation represents now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I wouldn't call myself like a fan of hers before or after this, but she impressed me.
Yeah.
Like, I think in this, I would have like if I was casting this, I probably would have picked someone that was more like musical theater rather than like pop voiced, but it worked. And yeah, I didn't think she was too bad. Some of the other actors in this, like there were some like really big names in it. James Corden, like I mentioned, I fucking hate him. I don't understand why he keeps getting roles. I think he just makes me so angry. I thought this was going to be like another cat situation because he was playing one of the mice that gets turned into like the stagecoach drivers, but they had like very, very like limited roles. Like he was not in it very much.
No, he wasn't.
But that being said, all of the other stagecoach mice are like comedians, but they're like lesser known. And that's actually something I liked about this movie was there's some like really well-known people in it, but a lot of up and coming or like unknown actors and comedians in it.
Yeah. And they had equally big roles to the big name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minnie Driver was in it. Who else? Pierce Brosnan.
Oh my God. Idina Menzel, who I've loved for years ever since I saw her in Rent.
Oh.
Which Rent is like a special part of my and Maria's friendship because we got to see it in New York on Broadway before it closed.
And we listened to the soundtrack literally the whole drive from
the whole drive
PEI to New
York. Oh my God. Like she can do no wrong in my eyes. Like she's just amazing. Just her voice, like her sneezing is like more in tune than me singing my very best. Like she's just like talent incarnate.
And she played the stepmom.
And she was the stepmom and she was like very theatrical about it.
Yeah.
And I felt kind of like had a little bit more depth than like other Cinderella iterations. She didn't just like hate Cinderella. She just didn't believe that like women should be independent and like be in business. Because that was like the big fight was that Cinderella wanted to own like a little dress shop and make dresses. And the stepmother was like, just didn't think that women should like own a business.
No. So very Pride and Prejudice because she wanted Cinderella to find a husband. And
a rich husband. A
rich husband to take care of the family. Because her children, her two daughters were less than
desirable. They were actually really funny too.
Yeah, and they weren't that mean either.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, yeah,
there was some like really mean behavior, but on the whole, the characters had some, like, compassion, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't just, like, their only, like, note from the director wasn't, like, oh, just be mean.
Yeah.
They were, like, a pretty, like, full-fledged character.
So I have a huge axe to grind with this movie, and it's that apparently Cinderella is, like, the original Cinderella is set sometime in the late 1800s, that Victorian era. And I don't know about the other remakes, but this remake did not know what era it was at all. And nor did the actor.
It took place in a alternate reality.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. There was...
They're speaking in old English, half, like, some of them. Some of them. Are speaking, like, totally modern. And it's...
Well, some of them are British and some of them are American. Yes. So...
They just did not try with the dialect.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, with the dialect in particular, like, nobody tried.
No.
And... while they were set in this like super old kingdom wearing like Victoria era clothes, the whole time I wouldn't have been surprised if someone just whipped out a cell phone and made that part of the movie.
I saw like a funny tweet that was like talking about period pieces. Like there's some people that like just cannot be cast in a period piece. Like they just have too modern of a face. And I think the tweet was like Jessica Biel, like, she's seen a cell phone. Like, she knows what an iPhone is. I kind of felt that with Camila Cabello. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's on TikTok.
Totally. Totally, totally. So the prince was played by, like, a lesser known actor.
Is he a TikTok star?
I don't know.
I feel like that's the thing nowadays, is they're just putting TikTok stars in movies.
Nicholas Galitzine. Galitzine. I don't know how to say that. But you know who I wish played the prince? Harry Styles.
Oh.
He would have been... They kind of... Like, he kind of looked like the guy who played the prince. The actor
Yeah.
who played the And he's British.
Oh, that would have been incredible.
He would have been such a good prince. And...
Or even Shawn Mendes. Who was like,
yeah, aren't they a couple?
Who's like Camilla's, yeah, boyfriend.
But personally, for me and my watching, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles would have improved this movie.
Yeah. Fair. All sins would have been.
I found out a piece of like devastating news about the mice. One of them was supposed to be played by John Mulaney.
Oh.
And that would have been. That would have made my whole life. I would like to see John Mulaney in every movie and TV show that I watch.
Amazing.
He's my fave. Yeah, you said Pierce Brosnan was like the king and he was pretty funny in it. But when I was like, oh no. Are they putting Pierce Brosnan in another musical? And I had like Vietnam flashbacks to Mamma Mia when he sings SOS. Like, bless his heart. He tried so hard, but he's just not a singer. And there is a scene when he, like, sings, but it's, like, supposed to be bad. His wife, the queen, whose Minnie Driver, is like, please stop. And so I'm like, I'm very happy that they called attention to that, because I was like, no, don't make him sing again.
Don't
no.
do it.
Oh, poor guy. He'll never live it down. Yeah, other than that, I could talk about Idina Menzel. All day.
Mm. She's so well, she had some pretty interesting outfits. Wardrobe.
Yeah, okay, and that's another thing talking about, well, this will segue very well into talking about the fashion. First of all, the person that did the costuming is the same person that did the costuming for Bridgerton.
Okay.
Also had like very incredible fashion. Like, a lot of the styles were kind of period piece, but the colors were very bold, and I don't think back then they were able to achieve bright yellow, bright fuchsia. But, like, I liked that. Oh, my God, the fashion was amazing.
It was pretty impressive. But, again, I guess I was watching this through, like, a critical lens.
Yeah.
And it was just very confusing. Like, okay, that looks like Victorian outfits. And then the next scene where they're going to a ball, it's like, okay, stepmother's wearing something straight out of last year's Met Gala. So I couldn't get over that. But if I had been watching it with just a open-minded lens, who cares what decade we're yeah. in, I would agree that
that's how I felt when we were watching Cruella. I think I was watching it more critically,
right?
And I think others didn't have that like lens on it. Okay, so speaking of Met Gala, I guess someone that we didn't talk about when we were talking about characters is the fairy godmother.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Or what does he call himself?
Fabulous Godmother.
Fabulous Godmother. It was played by Billy Porter, who I haven't really, like, seen him act in much stuff, but I just know him from wearing gowns at red carpet events.
Oh.
And I find that, like, so cool. Just so cool. And so to see that not a little old woman being in charge of a makeover and having it be like a fabulous queer man is that made me pretty happy.
Yeah, amazing. He was so good.
He was so good in it. It was like maybe 1 point across, like maybe pandering a little bit, like saying like, yes, queen.
Yeah.
It was...
There was a lot of one-liners like that from, like, this generation or Gen Z, I guess.
Yeah.
When the prince is talking to his best friend, and his best friend is like, wait, am I your best friend? And he's, like, jokes with them for a minute, like, oh, I have tons of friends. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're my best friend. You beautiful human.
Yeah.
And all sorts of little like quips that really are just from like youth and kids today.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was good. Getting back to the fashion, the ball was like, I like could not keep my eyes off of it. It was just so good.
Her outfit, so Cinderella is a dressmaker or an aspiring dressmaker, and she makes this beautiful dress that she intends to wear to the ball. She makes this beautiful like one strap pink dress, and then the stepmother is a horrible nasty bitch and ruins it by throwing ink on it so that she can't go to the ball. Bitch. What a bench.
And she just wants her daughters to catch the prince's eye. And they are wearing beautiful dresses, they definitely do a good job of making these dresses obviously a piece of art, but they're like gaudy.
Gaudy, yeah. Exactly.
So you can tell like when you're like looking at the stepmother and the stepsisters in their like little house, you're like, oh wow, like that's such a pretty dress. But then they get to the ball and it's like, oh, those dresses are tacky. Yeah, like the prince will never love them. Speaking of the ball, that leads into, or is there anything else you want to say on fashion?
No, I was thinking the ball is a great jumping point to the music.
The music. Okay. Really, what like the first thing I heard about this movie that made me be like, oh, I'm going to like it, is I heard that they do a mashup of Salt-N-Pepa's What a Man with Seven Nation Army. And listen, Salt-N-Pepa is like very near and dear to my heart. It is like, it's the reason that me and my best friend Danielle are best friends. And What a Man is like the song that me and my sister will always sing if we're A, on a road trip, or B, like incredibly drunk. So like hearing that with like Seven Nation Army, which is an incredible song. Yeah. I don't know how people come up with this. I don't know how people take these two songs and put them together.
It was really, really good. And I also got super excited. Not so much with What a Man, but then when he started into Seven Nation Army, I was like, hold up. You got my attention hold now.
And like it's like 20 or so like princesses from like different places, or just like girls of like high stature that are like singing What a Man. And all of their costumes are like amazing. And oh my, I'm going to rewatch this scene. Over and over again. It's like, it's gonna be on my like YouTube recommends, because I'm gonna watch it all the time. It was so good.
It's funny you say or you started there with those two songs, and that it's like one of your favorite or top played songs, because I was thinking all the sort of hits, totally random, the hits that were the pop hits that were in the song, in the movie rather, all totally random, like different genres of music, different decades, different artists, but they're like on the top played lists.
Yeah.
Of so many different people.
Yes. Okay. Because the opening song too, the opening song also like really grabbed me. It was a mashup of Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, which was incredible.
Okay.
And You Gotta Be by Desiree. It's not a song that you would know by name, but it's a song that you'll know because it's played on the radio a billion times. Right. And I think it's from like the 90s. So like a song from the 80s, a song from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then like the next scene we're getting like, I don't know. Some of the other like,
Mean Somebody to Love.
I didn't love that.
And then the end, Let's Get Loud. Like, that's one of my personal favorite songs.
Let's Get Loud.
Like, I was obsessed with it in junior high and high school.
Okay, I think I'm having flashbacks of that.
Yeah. And I can tell you why, because in grade 9, there was a lip sync battle, and like the girls a couple years ahead of us, who are all like popular and we're all in dance class, did this like really amazing lip sync to Let's Get Loud, and I never heard that song before. You remember that?
I think I do, because I think me and some of my friends also performed at that same Oh my god, we did. Okay. I don't think any of those friends listen to this, but over like the years, I mean, it's been more than 10 years since we've graduated high school. Sometimes if we hear this song, we'll like send a message to each other and be like, hey, I know it's been literally like 10 years since I talked to you, but I heard this song. Like, oh my god, do you remember it? We did a lip sync to AM to PM by Christina Milian.
Okay, drawing a blank.
I'm glad that you draw a blank, because that means that other people that witnessed it also probably forget about it. Okay, so the choreography at the end when they're doing Let's Get Loud, I was watching it and I was like, I know this. Like, I know this isn't I know how to do this. I mean, I know this style. Like, I've definitely seen this choreographer's work. So I did some digging.
Yes.
And it is the same choreographer as The Greatest Showman.
Oh.
And it's just a movie I've watched many, many times and recognized their like choreography work.
Wow. I thought
that was cool. Yeah. Really like noticeable like group choreography.
Mm.
And I really liked that. I also loved The Town Crier.
Was that like the more hip hop?
The guy who's rapping?
Yeah, he was awesome.
I loved that. Like, it obviously gave me like Hamilton vibes, because it's, there's like a Venn diagram in my mind that's like my love of history and like my love of music. And when it overlaps, it's like historical rapping. And that is like my favorite thing. That's why I'm obsessed with Hamilton.
Aww.
And also, fun fact, he was supposed to be played by Missy Elliott.
Oh.
Which, could you imagine that? That would have been really good. It wouldn't have felt as Hamilton-y. It would have been like its own thing.
Yeah.
So that would have been good.
Yeah, so some of those raps were original to this movie.
Yeah, I think even some of the songs were.
And some of the songs were. And then you had some straight out of the top 40s hits from various decades.
Yeah.
So an odd collection of music. But you said this is called a jukebox musical. Never heard of that before, so now I know.
It's like, I don't know if they considered like Rocket Man and Mamma Mia like a jukebox musical.
Those would be more like, well, just one.
Yeah, I guess they are. I think the definition of like is like when they use like a collection of pop music. It's about like having songs that are like not original to the movie.
Right.
Like, whereas like a movie like Aladdin, like, or other Disney movies, they're musicals, but like all of the songs were written like for the movie. Mm-hmm. This movie had all of the things that I loved about Glee without all of the bad stuff. And there's a lot of bad stuff about Glee. Like when I was first watching it, I was like, oh, like this is the same feeling as when I was watching season one of Glee and actually really liked it. Mm. But then there were moments that felt like season 4 or 5 or 6 of Glee where I'm like, oh, this isn't as good. Not as good. Why'd they pick this song?
How did you find it on the sort of inclusion and like politically correct scale? Because I was pretty comfortable with most of it.
Yeah, I was too. Especially with like with Billy Porter's role. Another character we didn't really talk about is like the prince's sister Gwen.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of the hate that is coming from this movie is people being like, it's pushing an agenda, it's too leftist. Like with Billy Porter being the fabulous godmother, and but I found it funny, the prince's sister, she kind of just has like some throwaway lines, and she's like, hey dad king, we should use wind instead of burning coal, like it's better for the environment. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like laughed off, and so she like keeps making those jokes, and so yeah, like some people are like, that's like pushing the agenda. But I find that so funny in a period piece. Like, I like hearing those jokes of, like, people making jokes about modern things.
Yeah.
Back in these, like, back, you know, hundreds of years ago.
And it's smart. She has great ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it has a total, like, woman empowerment theme. And at the end, so that Gwen gets to become queen or king because her brother, the prince, decides to get with Cinderella and not get married. Yeah. So of course he can no longer be in line for the throne. And she, the king tells her that she's next in line for the throne. And she goes, yay, I have so many ideas.
Yeah, I liked that. And I liked when the prince and Cinderella are like falling in love. And he's like, yeah, you're like, yeah, we're going to get married. And like, you'll come live in this castle and everything. And she, like the first thing that comes out of her mouth is, what about my work?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. I loved that. There's a lot of movies that are like, well, what about me? What about what I want? But specifically saying like, what about my work? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That made me so happy. I love it when women choose work. I love it.
I do too. It. However, I will admit in that scene, because the prince is like likable. And so in that scene, I was like, girl, if I were you, not saying you should do this, but if I were you, I would be okay with the life of leisure. Marry this nice, kind prince, have footmen and footwomen and maids. And
yeah, you will still do your work. Both. Now you just have the funds to do so.
Exactly.
I do agree with that, because I do. I am critical of that in other movies when the character like says no to like riches and fortune. I'm like, idiot, just take it.
Yeah, then figure take out how to money. Do what you want to do.
Yeah. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it buys you like time and freedom, which then can give you happiness by like finding your purpose. Now you just are funded. Buy all the fabric you want to make those dresses.
Is it the Ariana Grande song, Seven Rings? She's like, whoever says money can't buy happiness didn't have enough money.
Yeah. Oh. I would rather be sad on my private jet than be happy and sitting on the floor. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, did we cover all the categories?
I think we did.
What were your overall thoughts?
So this is definitely a movie that, like, I think me saying that I really liked it is going to be controversial. I have a feeling I know how it's going to be received, and I was probably going to be one of those people that thought it was so stupid. Because first of all, it was like, we don't need another Cinderella. They did the one with Brandy and Whitney Houston, which was amazing. And like, I still sing that song all the time. Impossible, impossible. And it's so good. And I actually watched it like, I think over quarantine. And then they did the other like Disney remake. So I was like, why this again? What is the purpose? And then I was obviously very angry about the flash mob and still angry about the flash mob. I hated it so much. And I'm never gonna be okay with that. But I think I was in the right headspace to like disassociate enough to like not notice the historical inconsistencies and to like just enjoy the music. I think I played right into their hand. I think they got me. They got me, gal. Like opening with Rhythm Nation, I was like, "Oh, I'm in."
And then yeah, Salt-N-Pepa
they got me.
Really.
And then to have then have Salt-N-Pepa in the middle, and then they didn't finish. I mean, for me, they didn't finish strong with Let's Get Loud, but I'm sure that made you happy.
Oh, that was one of the only redeeming qualities in this movie, in my opinion, was finishing with Let's Get Loud. I loved it. It was so unexpected. And it truly is in like my top 10 songs. So there you go. Generally speaking, though, like I just couldn't get over it was just so disorganized in terms of.
Yeah.
Period piece and decade and era.
And I think I watch enough like sci-fi and fantasy that I think I can glaze over those a little bit easier because I'm like, oh, okay, this is like a fantasy world, you know, this is a different alternate universe, like okay, yep, I'm here.
Totally.
But
there's one line the fabulous godmother says to Cinderella. He goes, let's not ruin this incredibly magical moment with reason. And I think that quote applies here and to a lot of movies, actually, that we watch.
Yeah.
Especially Cats.
God.
So between J-Lo's song, I really liked Ed Sheeran's Perfect at the ball.
Oh. So I would have to give this movie 7 Nation Armies out of 10.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, and I'm going to give it 3 mice turned footmen out of 10.
If it was John Mulaney, it would be 10 out of 10, but...
If it was Harry Styles, it would be 10 out of 10.
Right. Yes, of course.
But there we have it. A whopping 3 out of 10. I did not like.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a real treat for you next episode. It hopefully won't be delayed because our next episode is a movie that's like extremely hard to find. But I've acquired something that's going to help Maria find all of these weird movies that I pick. So stay tuned for that. I kind of alluded to it on our Instagram because I was looking at some of the reviews and just laughing my head off. So next week, our movie is 1990s Ghosts Can't Do It. And I don't know how to put the inflection on that. Ghosts can't. Do it. Ghosts can't do it.
Ghosts can't do it.
Ghosts can't do it. Anyway, it is a terribly amazing movie, and I cannot wait for some other people to learn about it.
Yeah, well,
because it's absolutely wild.
I am some other people. Have not watched it yet, but I will.
I can't wait for you to watch it
once I find a way to watch it. And sure wish That's Entertainment was still around.
Oh, they would have it for sure.
They would have it.
It might be in The Room, though. You know, like The Room?
The Room. The adult room.
It might be a movie that's in
I thought that was just for porn.
Yeah. There's a lot of nudity.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Well, listen, lovers, thanks for tuning in. Find us on Instagram at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast. Later, lovers.
Later. We've got kids waking up. We've got dogs barking.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.